49ers running back Jordan Mason has 83 carries over his first two seasons in the NFL. Not exactly a heavy usage, but his usage in the pass game has been even lighter. He only has three catches, and all of those came last season in 2023. So that's what makes what we're seeing right now in 49ers training camp, with Mason catching five passes today alone, especially significant. This guy has not dropped the pass yet in 49ers camp. There have been nine practices, and he's been heavily featured in the pass game. And I can go as far as to say that he's got soft hands coming out of the backfield. Now, anybody who is remotely familiar with the 49ers game knows that they want adaptability at the running back position. Christian McCaffrey is the standard of adaptability at the running back position. He's just as good of a receiver as he is a running back, and he's excellent at both. So the key for the 49ers is finding backups to Christian McCaffrey who can also do both. You don't expect anybody to be as good as Christian, but you have to pack the credible threat of running a pass pattern and taking a handoff. So Jordan Mason has been working on the receiving aspect of his game so that he can better approximate what Christian McCaffrey is able to do, so the 49ers do not skip a beat at the running back position. That's Jordan Mason's bid to become running back two on this 49ers team. Elijah Mitchell is playing good football, and Elijah Mitchell's healthy. He's looked good at training camp, but Jordan Mason has looked like a new running back so far at training camp because of his ability to catch the football. So I asked Jordan about it, and he gave me a very, very insightful answer today into what has made him better with his hands over the course of this offseason.
Passes this training camp, I don't think I've seen a drop. I was catching the ball and emphasis in your training this offseason and working on that. And what did you do to work on that specific part of your game?
See, the funny thing about that is I actually bought a $3,000 one of those shooting jug machines this summer. And I was like, if I want to be something or something close to Christian, I got to start catching something. So that was me investing in myself. I bought that machine, and I had my dad out there. He's sweating, got his towel on him, things like that. And he's shooting the jug machine at me and, you know, running routes and things like that. So we had a fun time with it this summer. Actually, I got it from Rob. Rob guy hooked me up with the dude that got me the jug machine for me. So
you heard him mention Christian McCaffrey specifically. That is the model for these 49ers running backs. Bobby Turner, the running backs coach, says you guys got to be more like Christian so we can trust you if we want to give Christian a breather. So much of the complaints from 49ers fans, even when things were going well, because everybody always has to find something to nitpick about, was Christian McCaffrey has too big of a workload. Christian McCaffrey's going to get hurt. We've got to find a way to ease Christian McCaffrey's workload. Well, the reason that it stayed so high over the past several years is because the running back, too, the 49ers trust to do a whole bunch of different things. Elijah Mitchell has been hurt a lot of the time. And Jordan Mason, who was waiting next in the wings, wasn't fully trusted to do everything that Christian McCaffrey can do. He needed to develop into a better receiver, and he did it to develop into a better pass blocker. So Jordan Mason made that investment in himself. $3,000 for a jugs machine at his house over in Nashville. It's where he grew up. And his dad was out there in the summer heat, sweating, loading the ball onto the jugs machine so that Jordan Mason could work on his hands. And I can tell you from being out at practice over the course of the past nine sessions that the hard work has indeed paid off. The way that the 49ers are running this now, it's like a 2A, 2B situation at running back. Elijah Mitchell's obviously still the two, but Jordan Mason, especially on the days that Christian McCaffrey is out due to a vet day, they're keeping him fresh over the course of this camp, Jordan Mason has been splitting reps with that first team. So I've got both Mitchell and Mason listed right next to each other. Mitchell is the 2A, Mason is the 2B. Maybe we can even denote that on this depth chart. Mitchell 2A, Mason 2B. That obviously is the running back position, not the fullback position. We just ran out of room on this chart. Now, I've moved Cody Schrader up the depth chart already. He is the undrafted rookie out of Missouri. Patrick Taylor Jr. is a veteran who might be headed for the practice squad for the 49ers, but we'll see in these preseason games. Isaac Garendo is the fourth round pick who is currently dealing with that hamstring injury. So he's on the outside looking in at practice, but I have him on the inside of the 53-man roster projection. We'll reevaluate everything once Garendo's able to return. But more on Mason, because I mentioned Bobby Turner, the 49ers running backs coach, who's old school, worked for Mike Shanahan under the Denver Broncos, and has been with Kyle Shanahan ever since the 2017 season. Bobby Turner works his ass off, and Bobby Turner expects his players to work their ass off, not only on the field, but also in the film room. And when we heard from Jordan Mason today, he noted that he and Bobby Turner didn't always get along over his first couple seasons in 2022 and 2023. He wasn't the best student in that film room. But now, all of a sudden, in that meeting room, Jordan Mason is the top student. Let's listen in on what he said about his relationship with Bobby Turner and how he's matured and how that's evolved and how that's turning into a big opportunity for Jordan Mason.
I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that we started off on a downhill, like we were not on good terms at all. And we just had to get it going. Like, you know, I had to learn his style. He had to learn my style. Well, he didn't really have to learn my style, but I had to learn his style. So, you know, it just took me to growing up and getting in the system and actually learning just him, just because, you know, he's an old school coach. So he, you know what I'm saying? You got to do things a certain way. And so it's just how I had to switch up.
So Jordan Mason had to make some adjustments with how he studied, with how he came to work. And now in his third season, it looks like Jordan is in a position where he's ready to knock on that door of some real playing time. Again, 40 carries and 43 carries in his first two seasons, 83 carries total. Was used a lot more when the 49ers had some injuries in 2022. That was his heaviest stretch of action, and he was the closer back then. Mason is big. I mean, he's close to 220 pounds. He says that he runs like he's angry, and I agree with that. People have drawn comparisons between Mason and Marshawn Lynch. Today, somebody asked Mason who he watches or who he tries to emulate his game after, and Mason said, nobody really. I watch the defense when I watch football. He likes to break his own path, and I think that's really respectable. But you got a violent runner who's got some extra weight. Defenses have downsized over time, and in 2022, when the 49ers needed to ice games, well, guys on the defensive side were bruised by the fourth quarter. San Francisco was ahead. Enter Mason, who was a downhill, angry runner. And as Trent Williams said, defensive backs would make business decisions. They decide, I don't want to try to tackle this guy because it's going to hurt. Mason had the ceiling run for the NFC Championship for the 49ers in 2022 at Seattle. 40, 50-plus yard run on third down that iced the game and iced the title for the 49ers. That was one of the Trent Williams business decision jokes. It was after that game when he watched the safety for the Seahawks just decide not to even bother putting an honest tackle attempt on Jordan Mason. So that's how he was used in 2022. Wasn't used quite as often in that way in 2023. He did catch three passes out of the backfield in 2023, but that's a very, very small load of receptions out of the backfield. Again, he caught five passes over practice today. One-on-ones today, Jordan Mason beat Ezekiel Turner, who's a new linebacker on the 49ers, on a go ball, and he hauled it in down the sideline. Big lunging catch. I mean, only a receiver with good hands is going to be able to make that play. So you go back to the Jugs Machine video, Jordan Mason investing those $3,000 in himself over the course of this offseason, his dad investing hours into Jordan Mason. That's all paying off right now, and we could see it directly, the hard work on that field with the way that Mason is catching the football. Now, today, Mason was running like a man possessed, or he was running like an angry man, like he says he likes to run. And he was angry. He was very angry at one point when Ezekiel Turner, not too long after their matchup in one-on-ones, shoved him out of bounds on a, actually a pass pattern. It was one of Mason's catches. Ran the out. Turner was in coverage. Throw hits Mason in the hands. He catches it. He starts to turn upfield, but Turner pushes him, and Mason stumbles out of bounds. Mason took exception to the shove. He thought that he was still, or he was already out of bounds. So Mason got up. Turner didn't think anything of it. Turner was jogging back to the huddle, so his back was to Jordan Mason. Once Mason gathers himself, I see him just break into a sprint. And I'm like, what's this guy doing sprinting back to the huddle? But he wasn't sprinting back to the huddle. He was sprinting to Ezekiel Turner, and full speed, Turner didn't see it coming. He just shoves him, and Ezekiel Turner goes flying to the ground. So, of course, Turner gets up, and they get into a shoving match, and both huddles clear, and the bench is clear, and guys are in each other's faces, and there was no punches thrown, which is a good thing because you don't want hands broken against helmets, but no punches thrown. Nothing else really escalated from that point. It was the closest thing that we had to a full-on brawl so far at 49ers training camp. So I'm still waiting for there to be that fight. In the past, it had been Brandon Ayuk against Fred Warner. Obviously, Ayuk is just taking quick peeks at practice now from the weight room. But Mason was angry today. Mason was competitive. He even later on had a few words to say to Malik Collins after a play. That's the big 49ers defensive tackle. So I think, of course, you don't like big shoves like that after the play. If you're Kyle Shanahan, you'd rather have Jordan Mason cool off a little bit. But it's training camp. This was the longest practice of July or August. I think it might end up being the longest of camp. The 49ers really went after it. Tempers flared. And Mason definitely was a featured player, I think. And that was even with Christian McCaffrey active in practice today. So I really do believe that you'll take the trade-off in training camp. It's okay. He went after, he got physical there with Ezekiel Turner, but it's something that was a byproduct of the day. And Jordan Mason has, by and large, been impressing the 49ers big time. Another guy, another young player who's impressing the 49ers big time is big number 77, Dominic Pooney. Matt Barrows wrote about Dominic Pooney on The Athletic today. And Chris Foerster, the 49ers offensive line coach, talked about him before practice this morning. Foerster said that Dominic Pooney, right after he was drafted, which is in late April, early May, asked for all of Chris Foerster's cut-ups, like from coaching install cut-ups. So everything that Foerster had installed over phase one and phase two, that was before rookies were drafted, Dominic Pooney wanted to catch up on. So an assistant went ahead and sent Dominic Pooney a bunch of video files from earlier in the offseason. Less than 2 weeks after the draft, the 49ers hosted their rookies for the first time. It was rookie minicamp. Dominic Pooney managed to watch all of the cut-ups, all of the meetings that had stretched out over a couple month span in less than 2 weeks voluntarily. Nobody was forcing him to do this. He went out of his way to grab that tape from Chris Foerster and learn in between the NFL draft and rookie minicamp. So now Dominic Pooney's getting all those first team reps at the right guard position. Spencer Burford started for the 49ers as a rookie at right guard two seasons ago. So it's entirely possible that we see Dominic Pooney start at that position. Burford hasn't been all that great for the 49ers. The right guard position was probably the weakest along the offensive line last season. So they can use an upgrade at right guard, especially since the right tackle spot hasn't been great either. But Colton McKivitz talked today, and Colton mentioned that he thinks that he's got a whole new realm of football to unlock. He thinks that in his second year starting at right tackle, he can enter a different mode. Now, today it was tough because Leonard Floyd was on today. Leonard Floyd sprinted around Colton McKivitz a couple times. Colton's a better run blocker than he is a pass blocker. So the 49ers obviously want to milk as much pass protection as they can out of that right tackle spot. And perhaps one way to do it is to improve the pass protection right next to it at right guard. And Dominic Pooney didn't give up a single sack over those 2 years at Kansas. And the study habits that we've heard Chris Foerster talking about seem to match his composure on the field. One of the best performances today was from Jordan Elliott, one of the 49ers defensive tackles. Elliott was on today. He's come over from the Cleveland Browns. Looks like he's going to be that big body in the middle that the 49ers have really been missing since DJ Jones left after the 2021 season. Anyway, on a day where Elliott was on, he did have a very good battle with Dominic Pooney on one-on-ones, and Dominic Pooney was actually able to hold his own. So Pooney hasn't been bad in one-on-ones. Elliott wasn't bad at all today. That's the update from 49ers practice, talking about Dominic Pooney, his study habits, and Jordan Elliott, the 49ers veteran defensive tackle, part of a reworked group. You can look at that group right here. This is a graphic that I've liked to bring up several times. But the defensive line for the 49ers, a lot of teal listed in that room. Let's move to the 49ers Q&A. Another practice tomorrow. The players' day off, not a day off for me, not a day off for us covering the team on Monday. The time to move to that Q&A. Those of you listening on the Lombardi Lounge, come and check out the YouTube channel. Those of you watching on the YouTube channel, check out the Lombardi Lounge podcast. Alex saying Jordan Mason could be the new Todd Gurley. Powerful runner. I could see where you're coming. But I mean, Gurley was a violent, violent runner on those Rams teams. And he also caught the ball out of the backfield. Had some good years. Got paid by the Rams. That would be a boost for the 49ers. Get a player of that caliber alongside Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell. Now, the way that this can impact the running back room is really interesting, because if you got a 2A and a 2B with Mitchell and Mason, and Garendo comes back and finds a way to stay healthy and impresses, and Trader impresses as well, I think he already is, then all of a sudden you could start talking about a potential trade. I think that that's not going to be imminent. I think that that needs to develop over time. But the 49ers have dealt away running backs for fifth-round picks before. They've done it twice. Matt Breida, followed by Jeff Wilson Jr. Can Elijah Mitchell go the same way of those two? It's possible. But it depends on the depth outside of the room. Ryan asks, when do the 49ers hold joint practices? Not this next week, but the one after that, August 15th and 16th. And I think that that might be an informal deadline for Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams to finish their contractual negotiations. I think the 49ers might start putting a little bit more pressure on both of those players to wrap that up and get back out onto the practice field, because at some point you have to say that it's getting too close to the regular season. Guys aren't going to be able to build a proper callus. Nick Bosa last year, we saw that the start of his season wasn't nearly as good as the season before, or the end of the season last year after he built the callus. You need to get guys out there at some point in August. It might be different for every player, but this is training camp for a reason. It's training you to succeed in the regular season. August 15th and 16th in Irvine, joint practices against the Saints. Everybody smash that like button. And if I may ask you, I'm going to see where we're at subscriber-wise. We're coming up on a milestone. We aren't far away from 75,000. We're at 74,359. That should not be at 74,359 in 5 seconds, because I know there's a lot of people that have not yet subscribed, that haven't clicked on the subscribe button. So go ahead and do that. It helps in the algorithm. It helps get actual 49ers factual analysis out there. And your help would be much appreciated. Also, the more questions you post, the better it is. So go ahead and post your questions and I'll answer some of them right now. Over under on Leonard Floyd's projected sack numbers this year. You think over 8, but no more than 12. Well, I think you're kind of running right at the mainstream predicted amount there. Leonard Floyd is 39.5 sacks over the past 4 seasons. So he's essentially averaging 10 per season. So somewhere between 8 and 12. Yeah, that's where you'd set the over. That's where you'd set the under. I think that the speed rushing component that Leonard Floyd brings to the table as a guy, lanky guy, to me, it looks like he's in the 220s or 230s. I think he's listed in the 240s, but 6'5", lanky guy, absolutely knows how to pursue the quarterback. He's a bionic man of sorts. He'll get hurt in practice, he'll limp, and then he'll be back in on the very next play. He's played in 108 straight games. You know, he's tough as shit. Automatic 10-sack guy, right, over the course of the past 4 seasons. That's been the average for him. And I just knocked over my mic, kind of like Leonard Floyd is probably going to knock over some quarterbacks this year. Anyway, that speed rushing dynamic, that opposite Nick Bosa, is going to be really nice for the 49ers. They last had it with a healthy D Ford, and it worked really well when D Ford was healthy. Well, Leonard Floyd, he might not be quite as fast as D Ford, but he's taller. He's got a little bit more reach. He can force some fumbles. He gets to the quarterback. He's got the motor to get to the quarterback and the athleticism of a wide receiver. So I think it's going to pair really well with Nick Bosa, because Nick Bosa needs a bookend, and that's why they went out and they signed D Ford. That's why they went out and signed D Ford after trading for him with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's also why they went out and they signed Leonard Floyd this offseason. Much more durable than D Ford, though, those 108 straight games. Thank you. Shout out to San Francisco Fire Department, station number 13, for the hat. Is Nick Zakel going to make the 53-man roster? Well, they're working Zakel in fairly aggressively in the first team action, either at one of the guard positions or at center. So I've got him here as the backup center to Jake Brendel. Now, the second string center today was John Feliciano. So they've got a number of guys on the roster who can play center between Brendel, Zakel, Feliciano, and Barch. And then you could probably start moving into emergency options at center, and that would include somebody like the rookie Dominic Pooney. But when you look at how this team is constructed up front, they've got two guys that are competing to be the swing tackle, Chris Hubbard and Brandon Parker, both of them highlighted right here. Then they have John Feliciano, who I think is going to be the sixth lineman, a guy that plays all around the formation. Past that, I think that you want a swing interior lineman. If you want a swing interior lineman, then you look at Burford. Burford might start. But if Burford doesn't start, then he's obviously in that mix. But you look at somebody like Zakel, who's played a bunch of different positions on the interior. And if you look at Zakel, who's played a bunch of different positions on the interior, and you look at Barch, who's over here, who's a veteran, who's played a bunch of different positions on the interior. So they've got interesting depth. I think it's better than it was in the years past, but they also need to raise the floor and the ceiling of the starters themselves. So they're trying to attack two different things, and Nick Zakel is in the midst of the battle and the effort to do that for the 49ers. So yes, I do think he probably makes the 53, but they could also be giving him one final chance and say, hey, how are you going to do with the one, sink or swim? So there always is a chance that you cut a guy that you're looking at with the first team like that. But I do think that things are trending in a decent direction for Nick Zakel, based on the fact the 49ers have not only inserted him into the first team action, but at multiple positions. So it does look like they're really trying to get a good look at what they have in terms of that swing interior line position. Dave really loved Mason. He was disappointed he didn't play much last season. Well, I think he's going to play quite a bit more this season. Do you think the 49ers keep three vets at tight end, Kittle, Saubert, and Thomas, or a couple vets and a couple youngsters? Well, they've always kept four tight ends in the past. And Kittle, Saubert for sure. I think Braden Willis, who made a nice diving catch, for sure as well. And then that fourth spot, probably between Logan Thomas and Cam Lotu. I think that Mason Plein is a good candidate for the practice squad for the 49ers. All right, guys, we got another practice tomorrow, so I'm hungry. Wanted to go through Jordan Mason. Wanted to talk through the running back position and obviously give you some Dominic Pooney intel. So that's that. We will talk to you all tomorrow.